Someone that's such an undermined. Mahdi is someone that, whenever you come in contact with him, you know that your Krishna consciousness is not going to be the same. He's got an incredible insights, incredible personality. He's actually been a lifelong Brahmachari, so he has many insights on the missionary spirit, being a book distributor for over a decade. He also translated many of Srila Prabhupada's books into German. And this weekend he told us he didn't even actually know English when he was translating it, so it was a real miracle. So we're very fortunate to have Marge here with us today. Marge, so this is the Brahmachari Ashram here. So there's many individuals here that are long-term. Krishna Kirtan's trying to hide away. But there's many individuals here that have taken a long-term commitment to the ashram. And then there's about 10 or so boys that have just joined last week, and they're doing the sabbatical with the Bhakti Sastri and getting some training here. So we're very grateful that you've taken some time to spend with us, and we really appreciate it. So if we could have three really, really loud Hari Bols for His Holiness Sachin Nanda Maharaj.
Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
His Holiness Sachin Nanda Maharaj Ki
Jai!
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, I would like to introduce my little speech. I think it's all right. Yes. By first of all saying how I'm really enjoying being here in this little room up in the more peaceful section of the Bhaktivedanta Manor, with devotees who are the Brahmachari Ashram. I always feel when I'm with Brahmacharis and when I give Brahmachari classes, I'm with my people. I'm home. That I think those of us who go through this ashram, they appreciate company very much. So thank you very much, and I'm. Have prepared a speech for you. I have put notes together. I just need to find. I mean, I know I need to organize myself in a moment. Let me say, ask you, Shesha Prabhu, do you wish that we make a short kirtan into the Jai Radha Madhava, and then talk and take questions?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Good. I just come from a very thought-provoking discussion with a long-term friend, and was need to switch. I see many known faces also. Oh, Sri Ram, are you satisfied with Sri Ram?
Yeah.
he's wonderful.
Wonderful.
Yeah, I like also very much. Sri Ram is there, and the father of Nima is. Hare Krishna. Yeah, good. Vanamali is your name, I believe. Yes. It's the son of Kripa Maya Prabhu. Yes, I remember. You are now like this, so I had to first identify you. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari.
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 Gopi Jana Vallabha Kiri Varadhari.
Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Gopiyana Vallabha Sri Varadhani Yasoda Nandana Prajadana Rajana Yasoda Nandana Prajadana Rajana Yamuna Tira Vanasadhi
Yamuna Tira
Vanasadhi Yamuna Tira Vanasadhi
Yamuna Tira
Gaur Premanandi Hari 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 Bo Hare Krishna. Please allow me to just organize myself a little bit. Yes, I found. Yeah. Good. My dear devotees, I'm very happy to have you here for this Brahmachari class. I want to see, is the air fresh enough? The problem is if we have this all the time open, it's quite, is it little stuffy or is it all right? Maybe we should just, Sheena, maybe you just open this for some time and then close it. How is your attention span? You have eaten a healthy breakfast, right? Yeah, no rest, I see. Yes, I'm used. When I come to England, everyone is chronically tired. That's my experience. Really, Pandavasenas up till 2 o'clock in the morning, no problem. The problem is in the morning class, you know. Hare Krishna. That's good if we can go. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Dhimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Shatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nittananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. My dear devotees, in preparation to this class, I have studied Krishna's conversation with Uddhava at the very end of the Uddhava Gita, where the Lord describes the various ashramas and their respective duties. I will be reading to you from a summary of the 11th canto, which has most of the verses. It's called the backward glance, a detailed overview of Srimad Bhagavatam, cantos 11 and 12. When we look at the Brahmachari ashram with the perspective of how can we improve our own Brahmacharya, we should look at the essential feature of the Brahmachari ashram. So according to Lord Krishna, the Brahmachari is mainly engaged in serving the spiritual master. That's the essential duty. The Brahmachari is mainly engaged in serving the spiritual master. Now, in order to spread this out a little bit, I will say in a moment something about the dynamic between teacher teaching, between the teacher and the student, so that you will understand why Krishna says the main duty of the Brahmachari is to serve the spiritual master. But before that, I would like to speak what Krishna considers the heart of the Brahmachari ashram. What is giving life to the whole thing. And he mentioned celibacy, study, regular study, and then again service to the guru. Today I will not discuss in detail about celibacy, but I would like to make a mention of it so that my presentation is complete. When Krishna talks about how to obtain a wise celibacy, is there, it helps you to become free of material contaminations, which are based on selfish desire. That's why celibacy is recommended. He says, a brahmana who observes the great vow of celibacy becomes brilliant like fire, and by this austerity he burns to ashes the propensity to perform material activities. So celibacy is here compared to a fire, which when it's working, up and well working, it will burn away the propensity, that means the inclination to perform material activities. Free from such a contamination of material desires, he then becomes my devotee and engages himself in service. This is the true goal of brahmachari life, to become a Krishna bhakta, a devotee of Krishna. And the methodology which is used to reach this goal is mind and sense control, and therefore celibacy is so much recommended. To maintain your celibacy, and I would like to add here the propensity, the inclination, the desireness, forget about this word, the very essence of your desires, to purify this. You brahmacharis are advised, you know, if they want to maintain the celibacy, be simple, do not decorate your body, control your mind and your speech. Helps you to remain simple, and then it's easy to not be so much, to be free from the outer attraction to the opposite gender. Prabhupada said in a lecture, celibacy is good so that the mind remains fertile for spiritual cultivation. The mind is fertile. Fertile means you put a seed in there, and when the ground is fertile, the seed will grow very quickly to a substantial height. If the ground is not fertile, the seed can even die, or it grows in a crippling kind of way. So celibacy, or this fire of sense and mind control, it will help you to be fertile for spiritual cultivation. Otherwise, when you are not celibate, the mind will be inclined more towards material things in general. So that's the reasoning. But as I said, today I will just touch this a little bit, but I won't go into detail. Where I want to go into detail is the two other aspects of the heart of the ashram, which was study and service to the spiritual master. See, traditionally the brahmachari ashram is taken at the beginning of one's life, before the other ashrams, before you enter Grihastha ashram, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. Because in this period of the brahmachari, you would study the shastras under the guidance of an experienced teacher. you would first get the knowledge, the fundament, which is Shastric knowledge, which you would need for everything else. Either if you would stay a brahmachari and enter sannyas life later, or if you would become a grihastha and enter later the vanaprastha ashram. The fundament needs to be there. Fundament of Shastric knowledge is so important, my dear devotees. Look at a building like the TOVP. It will be the largest building or the highest building of Bengal, I heard. I can't believe this, because now they also built skyscrapers in Calcutta, is it? Anyone knows? Or? I think the largest religious building, that was the figure in Bengal. Do you know that we had to make a fundament into the sandy ground which would go 50 meters deep, 50. Have you ever stood on a cliff and looked 50 meters down? That's significant. Go on a skyscraper if you want to get an eerie feeling in the stomach, and 50 meters down is significant. That's a long, long way. 50 meters. Oh, I can't offer you a comparison. See the high trees there? They are not 50 meters are still just further down. It's a huge fundament. It's necessary because it has to carry the weight of this huge building. And the grounds there are not so favorable because it's in the Ganga Delta, where there is mostly sand ground. It's shifting, it's moving. But we would have to have dug a few hundred meters if there wouldn't be a rock down there. It's building on after 50 meters the rock comes, and that's a stable ground to build on. That has always been there, the rock, despite the shifting sands. My point here in this illustration is, if you want to build something which is substantial and which lasts, you must supply an equivalent fundament. So for a life, you must supply the fundament of the Shastras, the revealed word of the Lord. Very important. Otherwise, you don't know where you're going. So to learn these scriptures, you would go to a teacher, a spiritual master, and he would guide the young student or brahmachari in his studies. He would inflict discipline on him. He would tell him, go please and collect alms for the upkeep of the ashram. And the brahmachari would go out and come back with eatables, which would be brought to the kitchen and would be cooked for the daily meals. He would also come back with firewood, which would be used to maintain the daily sacrificial fire, the yajna place. In this way, he would submit to the teacher by menial services. And this would be important, because only then, when he would take consciously the lower position, would the knowledge which is embedded within the mind at the heart of the teacher come to him. Knowledge always needs to flow from up to down. If this cup, for instance, sorry. This will be good for even sleepy brahmacharis. If this cup takes a superior position to the water supply, it will not work. It has to take an inferior position, and then the water can flow in the natural way. It wouldn't be able to do this. I won't even try, because I would mess up your brahmacharya ashram if the cup is not in the right position. So therefore, menial service to the spiritual master, a submissive attitude, a service attitude, was very, very much encouraged in this type of training, if you so want. So, but there was a very deep, but the idea, and this is, I think, new for many of you, the idea of taking, of being submissive to an external authority, the teacher, was necessary for a second reason as well. The first reason was, knowledge always flows from up to down. You cannot get knowledge if you think you know better than the person who trains you. So do the opposite. Take a submissive position. Don't be a proud student. That was one reason why this learning study was so much connected with the guru. The second reason, my dear devotees, is very, very subtle. It comes in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. You would first submit to an external authority so that you then could submit to an internal authority. Wow, what does this mean? What it means is, if you learn from the teacher who is outside of you, you would get to understand through him the concept of authority and the authority of the guru, but also the shastra. Then, after some time, you would submit to the internal voice, the intelligence that has been awakened by that training, that scripturally informed intelligence, and you would follow that in whatever situation you would be. Because it's a subtle point and you are sleepy, I want to... I'm sorry, I'm trying to wake you up, that's all I do. I want to make this a little bit more clear. When the sun sets and is no longer visible on the horizon, at that time it has given its light to the rising moon, who then will give the light which is necessary for us to walk our paths. In the same way, the guru may not always be there to train you and teach you, but if you have learned from him in a submissive way and you have committed to him, then even in his absence, his teachings live within you. Just like the sun has given the light to the moon, if you so want, the guru wants to give the spiritual knowledge to the heart of the disciple, so that he will also function without his direct presence, his physical presence. So this is a little bit for you to, you can understand why the Vedic scripture so much stress study and service to the guru. The heart of the brahmachari ashram has three things: celibacy, which helps you to make your mind fertile for spiritual cultivation, study, and then service to the guru. This you should see. How am I doing with my celibacy? How am I doing with my study? How am I doing with my service to the guru? And then you have a healthy heart when you take care of these three areas. You will walk through your life with strength. Krishna. This was something about the dynamic between teacher and student, or the idea of studying under the guidance of a teacher. In modern day ISKCON, or in the Bhaktivedanta manner, I see with great happiness there are study. How do we call this arrangement, Shesha Prabhu? This
cubicles,
study cubicles. Hare Krishna. I hope they are well used by you, and you don't just text to your friends when you have your mobile telephone. Am I too honest, or we can talk like our family? use them for studying, and I think when you study, Prabhupada's purpose are there. You're learning from him. You're learning also from senior brahmacharis. You're learning from senior devotees when they give classes downstairs in the temple room, Bhagavatam class, etc. And this will give you a wonderful fundament, the study and the service, menial service. My dear devotees, menial service, so important. Otherwise, you will not be in the right mindset to really learn. Before I go again on a shastic stretch, I will tell you a little story about the idea of this menial service. There was once a very rich and pious man who had a son whom he wanted to be educated in a Vedic Gurukul. So he brought the son, and he was a very good teacher or guru. He had heard many good things about him, and then he inspected, he came back to the ashram after 1 year had passed. He wanted to see how his son was completing his studies, how everything was going. So he went to the ashram, and somehow he had to answer nature's call first. So he went to the bathroom facilities, and as he was relieving himself, he heard Prabhuji, Brother Sleep has just come from behind. He was just coming from the cubicle and coloring your perception for a moment. Now you are again with us. So this he heard this familiar voice of his son singing next in the bathroom, and when he went out of his bathroom, he saw his son was cleaning the toilets. Oh, he protested inside. He did not greet his son. The son didn't see him. He went directly to the guru and said, "I didn't give my son to you so that you use him in cleaning the toilets. I can give you 10 Turkish slaves to do this." The guru looked at the nervous father, the disturbed father, This man, Guru Kut, knew, was a well-known doctor. He recognized him as the father of one of his students, and he wanted to speak compassionately to him. He said, you are a doctor, no? Yes. He said, when a patient comes to you, do you give the medicine to the patient or to 10 Turkish slaves? Doctor said, what do you mean? Of course, to the patient who has the disease. So he said, the guru said, you brought your son to me. Your son is, like all conditioned souls, suffering from pride. He needs to go to the bathroom and clean it, not 10 Turkish slaves. They most probably don't suffer from the same disease. You follow his thought? No, but a good answer, a very good answer. When, or our Krishna Kirtan will know, when a person comes with dental problem, you will not drill on his Turkish slaves, if there are such a thing like this. It is meant for, the drilling is meant for him, the compassionate drilling, I hope, meant for the patient, no? So yes, menial service is meant for you. That's the idea, and it is administered by the compassionate teacher so that the medicine will work. Another reason why this submissive service is required to learn is because by it you charm the heart of the persons who can give you blessings. My dear devotees, one thing you must know, blessings carry you further than your own endeavors. Once again, blessings are more potent to carry you forward than your own endeavors are. I want to end with you by bringing you a nice, bringing to your attention the passage of the Krishna book, where Srila Prabhupada sums up Krishna's brahmachari life. Krishna went as a student to the teacher Sandipani Muni. Sandipani Muni was a Shiva Bhakta. Don't know if you know. He was not a Vaishnava. Because Krishna thought, if I go to my devotees, they will never teach me. They will all, I must go to someone outside, an outsider. So he went to the Sandipani Muni. A very good person. You can imagine the guru of Krishna, Balaram, that was not an ordinary person. Lord Krishna and Lord Krishna and Balaram, the reservoir of all knowledge, exhibited their perfect understanding of all the arts and sciences mentioned above. Then they offered to serve their teacher by awarding him anything he desired. You must know that Sandipani Muni had requested that these two boys, they are so delicate, they should not be asked to do menial services. But still, Krishna Balaram insisted, no, we will certainly go out on the begging arms. And when they begged in the town of Avanti, or today's Ujjain, when they went for begging, they usually they went the first day. When they went the second day, there were bullock carts after another coming to the ashram, because people gave so much, they gave everything to Krishna Balaram when they begged, that they needed ox carts to transport the baked arms, you know, food, grains, ghee, cloth, gold coins. They needed ox carts to transport that back to the ashram. Sandipani Muni stood there at the entrance, seeing these huge loads of the, and he thought our ashram is prospering very nicely. And then he found out it was due to Krishna Balaram. But at the end, when their training was completed, they offered to serve their teacher by awarding him anything he desired. This offering by the student to the teacher or spiritual master is called Guru Dakshin. Yes, it is as Dakshina. It is essential that a student satisfy the teacher in return for any learning received, either material or spiritual. That's the idea of menial service. When you get knowledge, offer something, do service. And then Sandipani Muni, when he heard it's the time of the Guru Dakshina, not the normal arms, the bullock carts of arms. What could we ask these extraordinary students of mine? So he conferred with his wife, and together they had an idea. They asked Krishna Balaram for a very special dakshina. Does anyone of you remember what they asked Krishna Balaram to supply? Nishkinchan.
Is it to retrieve his son?
Yes, the son was in the kingdom of the death, dead. It was in the Yamaraj. And Krishna went there. So when he returned the boy, it's an amazing narration in Gopal Champu. It's very amazing. Like when Krishna and Balaram arrived at the hell, they heard the screams of the tortured. But as they came closer, all the boiling oil, for instance, in the vats evaporated. The torture machines broke into pieces. And the crying stopped as the fragrance of Krishna touched these poor suffering and tortured souls. Then Yamaraj came, and when he to see the cause of this extraordinary disturbance in the hell, and he saw Krishna, and he started to cry that there were pools of water around his feet. And Krishna thought to himself, everyone tells Yamaraj is so stern, but he's crying like a baby. To see me, I find him very soft-hearted. So then Krishna asked Yamaraj, please give me back the son of my teacher. Oh, said Yamaraj, he's in a condition he wouldn't like to see him. His body is taken away, his subtle body is in disarray, he's suffering terribly. No problem, said Krishna, bring him in. Then they brought the soul before Krishna. The moment Krishna glanced with his merciful, life-giving kripa kataksha, this aksha, this eyes full of mercy, that poor soul got his body back and was handsome looking. And so Krishna took him and brought him as his guru dakshina with Balaram together to the teaching. Then the brothers and Sandipani was totally happy to see his boy in such good condition, and he was very satisfied. And he said, he gave his blessings. Can I read to you the blessings which Sandipani Muni gave to Krishna? And I hope the same blessings will be given by Prabhupada to all of you. He said, you too, Krishna Balaram, above all blessing. What can I bless? But yet it is my duty to bless you. Therefore, I give you the benediction that whatever you will speak will remain as eternally fresh as the instructions of the Vedas. Your teachings will be honored not only within this universe or in this millennium, but in all places and ages, and will remain, your teachings will remain increasingly new and important, even in the Bhaktivedanta manner. Oh, sorry, this is an interpolation. Prabhupada writes, due to this benediction, your teachings will be relevant always, they will be honored always, and they will be increasingly new and important. Prabhupada says, due to this benediction from his teacher, Lord Krishna's Bhagavad Gita is ever increasingly fresh and is renowned, not only within this universe, but in other planets and other universes also. Wonderful. So this is something from our scriptures about the Brahmacharya Ashram. I was trying to concentrate, bring everything to the main essential duty of the Brahmachari. What is this? I'm asking you. Yes, to serve the spiritual master. Thank you. Yes, service. Yes, the main duty is serving the spiritual master, and of course, celibacy and study is also there. The study works, or the realization of spiritual knowledge works best by the blessing of the guru whom you have menially served. I would like to bring all this now in ending home to you who are now in the year 2019, wow, in the Bhaktivedanta manner. I know that some of you are part-time students here. I know one of you who intends to move from here into the Grihastha Ashram. Others are long-time students. Some might even think of a lifelong commitment to this ashram. They maybe move on like Sutapa does to another ashram, Sannyas Ashram. I spoke with him yesterday, Jewel, our Sutapa. I would just say it's always good to understand the essence and then make that work in the according to the time and the place and the circumstance which we find. So the service, this ashram is meant really to inflict some discipline on you. I spoke yesterday to one of the students here in the Brahmacharya Ashram, and I said how much I owe to my life, in my life, to this time spent in the Brahmacharya Ashram. And the greatest benefit which I can see is that by learning once to submit to, as a Brahmachari does, we have to get up early, we have a sadhan sheet, is that there, Shesha, where we have to cross our attendance?
Oh yeah, the register.
Register is there, we are expected to come every morning. I learned to be disciplined and to do the things which are good even when no one is around and watches you. This is a very good result. It's when the rays of the sun are coming into the heart, this example, when the external authority is internalized. We all need a compass when we go through life, something which helps us to decide, I go in this direction, I avoid the other direction. And that compass is something which must be firmly engraved in our heart. It's something which is always there. It's something which should work always. And when you have a strong compass, who is strongly aligned to the north direction, the North Pole, then you will go through life with elegance and a spring in your steps. Hare Krishna, my new English word, spring in your step. That strong orientation towards your North Star or your true purpose in life, that is learned in the Brahmachari Ashram, and it will accompany you in whatever the future brings for you, I mean, whatever service, whatever life situation and so on. I wish you all the best. I'm very, very humbled, humbled is not the word, honored is the word, to be in your association. I think of my time in the ashram. We had smaller ashrams than you. You have a very well and warm ashrams, I can see. When I joined the ashram, we were so poor. We had to beg once a week at a great market, you know, for food. That was the food which was a little bit touched by the influence of old age, and which they couldn't sell in the next week. So we went and asked for this food, which otherwise would go to the garbage, and we would bring this. And of course, the management of this huge market, where all the sabjis came from everywhere, did not like us. So we had to So we had to climb over the fences. I remember, you know, we needed to go, balance our way through a. Over a, what is it called? Heating pipe, this huge pipe where warmth comes into the big apartment houses. Do you have in England? In Germany we have these big apartment blocks, and then the heat is brought from heating generating plant over these pipes, and it was so cold that one of these heating pipe which brought us over, you know, which led over a ditch, that was the only way to climb into the sabji market. And boy, it was frozen, it was full with ice, and we had here 5 boxes of cauliflower, potatoes, and now this heating pipe. Oh, what if I fall with my sabjis? Then we needed to ride on it, balance. That was the time, the big menial service to this world master. It was very good time. It was and then we would sleep with many devotees on the floor. Yes, and we had no money for the heat. Krishna, what did we do? I mean, when I went, then we had to take a shower with cold water. I was so young and so energetic, like you can see, like little Giriraj, full of life and happiness and always smiling. It was me in my young days. And I remember 2 devotees had to hold me because the 3rd had to pour the cold water over me. My young body was very, you know, when the water came up, I went, that was the times. It was very good time. I do not think it is recommended to have this again, you know, it was just a historic episode. But the idea of menial service, discipline for the mission, was very, very good. I owe everything to it, really. Now where I'm an old man who was given so much facility, if I wouldn't have this internal compass which was at that time established in my heart, life would be different for me now. So I'm I'm very grateful and want to encourage you, go joyfully through this period of your brahmachari ashram. And please, I think you have this here, but if you don't have, I spoke in the Delhi temple, for brahmachari ashram, in the Punjabi Bagh temple. I said, please, 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 we must have the facility for study for our brahmacharis. It's part of the ashram. It's really important because that's the fundament of everything. And so please take good care about your personal study while you're in the ashram. I know it's not easy in Bhaktivedanta Manor. It's such a busy place. But I can see we have sealed the brahmachari ashram off the busyness, isn't it? Only if you know the special codex, you can come in. Or if you're a hacker, you can hack it. But but I think no hacker would enter the brahmachari ashram. No professional hacker. He has not sufficient interest in this. So this is very good. What do you think? What was it? Celibacy, study, and service to the spiritual master. That's the school. That's, let us say, the school bench on which we sit, or the classroom, that's better. That's the classroom in which we sit. Mm-hmm. They have carefully chosen these items so that a very important thing takes place, that is the transference of external authority so that it becomes an internal authority. You understood this point, no? Good. Yes, I will stop here. Now I will open the forum for questions. I saw you first, Prabhu. What's your good name, please? Baladev Charan Prabhu. Mm-hmm.
I think before our class, Maharaj, you have been speaking about building a foundation of studying the Shastra. Regarding this, I have a question, how to find the right balance? Because also you mentioned that it's more important for us to get blessings of the devotees. So if we focus too much on studying the Shastra, then we might miss out the opportunity to serve the devotees. And sometimes we can even make an offense of neglecting some service.
Mm-hmm.
And then in this way we won't get blessings. Or sometimes we focus on chanting, but then at the same time again we might neglect some service, or we might miss out some opportunity. So what's the way to balance the study shots between service and chanting?
Yeah. Baladev Charan. Baladev Charan. Balance is always the question, and I must tell you, balance is the most difficult thing to do in this world. Obviously, there should be a time. We have a certain schedule. We go, and within that schedule, where everything is there, service. Missionary activities, which counts under service, like going out, and then we have also our hour or 1.5 hours. I don't know how you have arranged this. And there should be time set aside. So there is a schedule which you have, which takes care that you allot the balance time to everything, but that's on paper. Now comes the reality of life. In my forthcoming book called The Vedic Way, I write about balance as a sattvic principle, and I share with my audience a little story from my childhood. When I was a little child, I liked to go to circus with my mother. We would always go and see the circus, and of all the presentations in the circus, the tigers who jump through burning hoops, and beautiful horses, and people doing a handstand in full gallop, and of all these presentations, I appreciated very much the high rope artist who was walking on a tight rope, and he would perform various acrobatic feats. He would jump and make a salto and everything. So there was one totally talented high rope artist from Bulgaria once in our town. And when he was finished with his presentation, I couldn't wait any longer. I was a small little boy. I ran right from the side of my mother, climbed down and ran through the menagerie, through the circle. And when he came down on the ground, I asked him, how did you manage to stay in balance? And he was for a long time in Germany. He knew German. And he said, I was never in balance. But see, that's why we have this, what is it called? The stick, this balancing stick. So that whenever I was not in balance, I made sure with this help to get back into balance. So Baladev Charanji, perfect balance is very difficult to attain in this world. But whenever you see you are out of balance, try to go back into balance. Hare Krishna, Hari Bo, Maharaj. I'm very happy. Can we serve you? You need someone to come to you, or you just want to? Oh, so you will sometimes be in a situation where you read too little. At other times you will be in a situation where your services may be not there where you wish it to be. That will happen, but try to get back into balance, because this goodness, sattva means perfect balance, it is the most difficult to obtain position in this material world, especially in our times where rajas and tamas reign most of the time. But no problem, when you're a little out of the balance, when your reading suffered or your japa suffered, you can kindly you restore it, and it's to be expected. Don't panic. Yesterday I was in a house, they have two panic buttons. I learned red buttons when the thieves come in the house, then you can stick your hands on the panic buttons and then the police will immediately come. I saw that. So I wanted to try the panic buttons, but just for the fun of it, cultural experience, but they said, no need, this will be quite expensive if we try this. So when something happens like this, don't press the panic buttons. It's not necessary. It is unavoidable. But just go back. I always find it's so good when you notice that you're out of balance, because then you can restore the balance again. Now, I sometimes stay an hotel to the students in the japa retreats, that if you notice that your mind has wandered, don't become now dejected because your mind has yet another time started to wander. Become happy because now you know it has wandered, and you can catch it and bring it back. Most of the time, we don't notice when we are out of balance. Most of the time, we don't even notice that we are distracted when we do japa. We are just in a state of consciousness which we could call a little bit unaware of our situation. So when you notice I'm out of balance, then do something to restore the balance. And don't panic. It is happening in this world. Yes. Your good name, Prabhu?
Ananta Gopal.
Ananta Gopal. Wow. Yes, Ananta Gopal, Prabhu.
Wow, and when you chant japa and you set certain goal, and sometimes in the beginning you see the goal and then you think how will I achieve this goal, will I be able to do, you know, I'm struggling already. At the same time, Prabhuji is speaking about balance and how to balance everything, and then you said that you know, that if you just focus on what you're getting rather than focusing on your struggle, you can reach the goal. So my question is, Maharaj, how important is to be in a goodness actually? Because as you said, many people don't even notice these things. Sometimes we don't notice that we are struggling. Sometimes we don't notice that we are in the passion, because we are so much in the passion, we are so much conditioned. We don't notice that we are in intensity with japa. We don't notice that we are looking at the phone and chanting. We are not aware of many things. So how important is for us to be in the goodness, and how to come into goodness to actually practice Krishna consciousness?
See, goodness, Prabhupada said, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. This is often quoted. I have never found the quote really, but I hope it's right. But he would of course train us to become more conscious. That I know, that I personally have observed in his dealings with us, how he wanted us to be more aware of, for instance, when the bathrooms were not cleansed, were not clean. He would go in the temple and inspect all the rooms, including the bathrooms, because he knew when they were untidy that most probably we needed to learn more cleanliness and so on. He was very conscious and conscientious, and he wanted us to become careful, not waste any energy, for instance. I saw him personally in the evening times going through the castle where we lived and switching off lights. He was very conscious and wanted us to be conscious. If you submit to the brahmachari training, there is one very good element in the training, and that's regulation. You go at the same time to the bed and the bed. You rise in the morning at the same time. There's a lot of regulation going on. There's the temple program with the fixed timings. And by submitting to a regulated life, you will actually approach goodness. If you don't see it as a duress, as a stress, as a, oh, why do I have to do this again? Regulation can bring you to goodness. And then it comes. Also, the food which you eat in the ashram, I hope it's not every day a ghee battle, a deep-fried spicy thing. You have healthy food, isn't it, in the ashram?
It's the same as the manna congregation food at the moment.
Yeah. I do not wish to comment on it, but must be good, I think. You know, by these normal things, taking showers every morning at a certain time, don't try that you don't overeat. I can only see one thing we would like to overeat, that the Mangal Aarti sweets, but they are limited in supply, you know. they're world famous. So these regulations are very good for you. And then it will come. You know, speak the truth, study. These are all good things, doing dedicated services. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is usually how you become aware. Avoid, this is one thing I can say, Ananta Gopal, avoid seeing this as a almost, you know, a terrifying authority or something like that. Oh no, this is how it's a limiting discipline and so on. See that the discipline has its place in training you, and they have a positive attitude for that discipline training, and then you can profit. If you resent it and rebel innerly against it, then it doesn't have the positive effect and doesn't bring you to goodness, really. That's why I wanted to say why it's so important to take a menial position for learning. Not that we understand that this is good for us. That is that I wanted to emphasize. Mm-hmm. Janakinath. Hare Krishna, Janakinath.
Thank you for blessing our ashram with your association.
Thank you for blessing us with your association. This is my sincere statement. Yes.
Maharaj, I wanted to ask for your elaboration on what you said about providing facility for study for the brahmacharis. Mm-hmm. And this is something that we're trying to figure out what's the best way of doing it. What does that mean? Does it mean like personal study where you're reading? Or is it more effective when you're doing group study? Is it systematic? You know, because sometimes we can just read, but if we don't contemplate and there's no transformation,
yeah.
We'll be just wasting time. So what's the effective way of providing facility for study?
Yeah. That's a typical good question. Janakinath, I really recommend that this discussion is made with Sutapa Prabhu, but I will also say something which I hope is helpful. Sutapa Prabhu is very much aware of the need of study and is very informed, and he's really a one, isn't it? He's a jewel, really, when we talk with him. Oh, really, I have so much respect. So, whatever I will now say, it is something which I would like to contribute for the discussion, which must be had with the devotees who are knowing the situation. I think maybe the most helpful way for you is if I tell you how I personally study. Maybe there are some principles which can be adopted to this situation. Just like you, I thought, I've seen, if I just browse through the books, not so much might stick, because so much information is there. So what I have discovered is a method which is taught in the Brihad Bhagavatamrit, in the Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad. You know, these Upanishads were taught from guru to disciple. Brihad Aranyaka, it was in the forest, there was a forest ashram. And here is the method which was taught for studying and absorbing knowledge. First, Shravana, you would hear, or I would like to say in a modern context, gather information, maybe by hearing is one, that was the traditional way, but also reading. Now is, we have books for everyone, it's not just one shastra which is there on the palm leaves. Shravana, hearing or gathering knowledge. The second is manana. That is reflecting. Now there are various ways in which you can reflect what you have heard. One is you just sit back Shyam, please open the window. You just sit back and just go through what you have just now read, or when you hear, you go through your notes. Another is you might take notes on something. Another is you might just mark it. What I do is when I read a book, I have a sheet of paper where I mark on the page such and such, this point, guru-disciple relationship, you know, so that I find it later. Sometimes I write an LE, which means lecture. I will use it in a lecture upcoming somewhere. So reflecting, various ways are there for reflecting. You could write an essay as a means of reflecting. You could prepare a talk as a means of reflecting. There you could discuss with a friend this particular point as a means of reflecting. But reflect it. Move the subject. Now, after hearing it or getting it into your system, so to say, then you need to do reflection with it. Explore from various points of view. You could make a study group to what did you think about this as a means of reflecting, but reflect it. And finally, the third method, it's not finally, there's a fourth method also. Finally, to study is, the Sanskrit word is nididhyasan. It means two things. Taking it literally by the Sanskrit word, it means deep meditation about the subject. But in practice, it has also come to mean applying it. You know, go with that knowledge. Like I can imagine you being a preacher in the hospital. I hear from Gokrishna every detail he knows about you, how you preach to the doctors and the patients and the other caretakers there. You can tell us a lot on preaching to doctors and hospital staff. You have a lot of applied knowledge, no? That helps us to get the knowledge even deeper. The fourth and last item of traditional study would be vandanam, to pray for insights. You find this when Sanatana Goswami has heard from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he says, now please bless me that the knowledge which you have given to me becomes realized in my heart. Please bless me by placing your lotus feet on my head. So you might not be able to convince Sutapa to place his feet on your head. I don't think that will work with him, but the idea is we pray to the deities. That's the traditional form of studying. So as you see, you have taken notes, you can obviously think about this, and there's a wide scope to apply it to certain learning situations. It's not only in one way you can apply this, but these are usually the principles. And I was surprised, Janakinath, that in my, as a preacher, I preach in various circles, and sometimes in Christian circles. I was once invited to come with His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj and preach at the Evangelical Church Day. That's when all the Evangelical priests, means Protestant priests, came together. You needed to know a little bit what do they already understand, and how will you connect your what you wish to give to what they already know to be relevant for them. And I learned there's a method in Christianity of studying sacred scripture, which is really the same steps as in our tradition. They call hearing taking food to the, they give an example, taking food into the mouth. Reflecting, they say, is like chewing the food to make it, you know what happens when you chew the food, it will become digestible and it will be enriched with the enzymes which are there in the saliva, which is necessary for digestion. Someone who gulps down his prasadam has avoided the pre-digestion, and he will have as much gas in his stomach as he needs to fly from here to the moon, you know, and back. Hare Krishna. We are brahmacharis. We want to joke also a little bit. Reflecting is simple. It's like chewing it, and then finally. Applying is like swallowing the food down. You internalize it. By applying knowledge, or thinking very deeply about it. How does this apply? How do I move it forward with this? You really swallow the knowledge. You make it your own, so that you own this knowledge. It becomes part of you, Janaki Nath. Even when you are in coma, you will preach, you know. And then the ultimate thing is you need to pray for blessings from the Lord. Then you will also digest it.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's a very good question. Yes, Prabhu, I saw you next. What is your good name? Arun, Arun. Why do you laugh? It's a good name, no? Arun?
He said Arun Maharaj.
Arun Maharaj, Acha. Maybe in the future. Yes, Arun.
Thank you for your class, Maharaj. Yeah. I just wanted to ask, on Sunday, in the Kirtan, you were speaking about how Krishna is our best friend from the moment of birth to our last breath. He will be always with us. And you gave the lecture and you gave Kirtan on that. And how we can use this principle when we are doing japa? How can we apply this principle and absorb us better? Any evidence actually?
Yeah, Arun. We should chant in a way mindful of Krishna, that he hears. Yes, you, that he is there. After all, you are always saying the name of the Lord. You must think of the named. Indra Dumna Maharaj said that Prabhupada once told him when he chants, he should think, oh my dear friend, oh my dear friend, oh my dear friend. I do not know if everyone is comfortable to chant like this. It's a very high level. But it means to chant with sambandha, in relationship with Krishna. You know, the way we do it is we may chant before a deity, we may have pictures in the temple room, we may chant before the Vyasa son of Prabhupada. Mm. Mm. Somehow that our chanting and see Prabhupada as a pure devotee in whose heart is Krishna. And somewhere we should chant Krishna conscious, not melody conscious or zero conscious. Hare Krishna. That's the simple point. Mm-hmm. That's a simple answer. Yes, Prabhuji. Your good name?
Ian.
Yes, Ian, please.
Thank you so much, Maharaj, for your class. Very, very insightful. You mentioned and you emphasized on the importance of serving a spiritual master. And I've heard, you know, from other very many elevated devotees as well, and advanced devotees, that, you know, a spiritual master and taking shelter of one is really essential in us growing in our Krishna consciousness. So seeing that myself, I don't have a spiritual master, I've been obviously trying to, like, understand what process I should take to, you know, to receive one. And the advice I get is, you know, the guru comes from the heart, you feel it in your heart, but you get inspired by all the different spiritual masters that are there. So,
and who will you choose ultimately as your Diksha guru? Srila Prabhupada was asked this question once, where I know of. I can imagine it was a frequently asked question, but I'm aware of one. And he said, you will find your spiritual master not through the eyes but through the ears. You have to hear, and when the instructions of one particular, ignite more your Krishna consciousness, your willingness to serve and surrender, then you will see that is a very likely choice. He also said the guru makes Krishna appear in the heart, meaning that when you hear from one person and you feel very much towards Krishna, you feel you want to give your life to him, you want to become his devotee, then this is good, a good choice. After all, he represents Krishna to us, he talks about it. So I can just say, choose your spiritual master on the consideration of who inspires you most in your Krishna consciousness. Krishna gave a well-attended lecture in the Pandavasena mentorship. Maybe it is on YouTube. I'm saying because he's a little shy by nature, so it may be inspiring for him to hear that he is on YouTube.
I think we have time for one more question.
Hare Krishna. Yeah, Hare Bo.
My name is Paryojana Das Maharaj.
Paryojana Prabhu.
And I just wanted to, it was a point that I think Magar Maharaj made for attentiveness in whatever we're doing in our Krishna consciousness, is whether it be reading our service, and hearing, that he mentioned, he said, he's asking what Krishna is telling you about, what message is Krishna telling you about how you're doing your service and what you should do. In other words, go to the class, and if there's a personal message from Krishna about in your life and in your service, he said is a way of remembering to keep our attention. What is the message from this particular moment that you're engaged in the Krishna consciousness, whether your service or reading or hearing?
What is the message for you? Yes, I think it adds to our understanding. Thank you. Yes. The main point of Paryojana and myself is, I believe, we hear. No? We hear, and then as we see, what does this hearing give me? What is the message, for instance, from, then we will know more and more. Inspiration should not come from the eyes, or he dances and jumps higher than he. So therefore, the higher dancer is better than the lower dancer. I'm just saying something. Then, no, we should hear and then decide. I thank you all very, very much. It was a wonderful time at home in this ashram. This is just for studies, Shesha, or is it for...
Yeah, this is the library, and then in the evenings, after 8 p.m., some devotees sleep here.
Acha. This is a table which goes up. Wonderful. Wow, I see now, this is it's a whole massive reading book. Room. Very nice. All the best. My prayers are with you. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai, Gaura Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo, Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj ki jai.